Blog Talk Radio.
About it with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Oh, praise God, we wish you were here. Beautiful hot day today. We want to thank each and every one of you that is listening, especially those that listen on a continual basis. We want to thank you much today. Send you lots of love and hugs and prayers, of course. And if you're praying for us, as we pray for you. Oh, yes, we thank God for this beautiful day. Being alive is just something, isn't it? Amen, amen. All right. We continually praying for a few people. We're going to continue pray for them. Poster Sparkman, we continue praying for her, that God will undertake in her life, you know, and that she will continue to recover. Okay. Christina Benson, we praying for her that the cancer will drop from the root and go into outer darkness in Jesus' name today. And we thank God for, we're going to thank God for healing her. You know, we're just going to take that by faith and thank God for healing her. And we ask God to touch Veronica Vickers today also. Continue to touch her, that she will recover. And that Miss Dean, we pray, there's many people that has to recover. You know, call us and let us know at 347-857-3925. Let us know about what it is you need to recover from. Is surgery, you know, whatever the case may be, just let us know. And we'll pray for you, put you on the prayer list also, okay? Because we have many people that's recovering right about now. Bless God. I'm praying for Denise McGrath also for her recovery. Bless God. Send a word there to for the current Miriam Christian for her recovery from surgery. We praying for her also. Praise God. We're praying for the needs of the spirit and soul of the young men like Raheem Richards and Kahia Richards and David Neverson and Chris Whitted Jr. and little Michael Whitted Jr. And we praying for these young men. Praise God that they would do what? Give their lives to the Lord. Otis Wright, too, we pray for his salvation today, that God will, you know, move in a mighty way in their lives because they need. And, you know, we need some more young men in the church, don't we? Yes, we do. We pray that God will touch them right now in Jesus' name and make them everywhere whole. We pray for the pastors also that's going through. We're praying for the pastors that, you know, discouraged and, you know, their finances might not be such as they would desire them to be. And we're praying for them today also, you know, because they need prayer. If you have a pastor, pray for your pastor. Don't just feel like, well, I got needs. Well, your pastor has needs too, so that he can continue to be fit. He or she can continue to be fit to pray for you, okay? Because you need prayer, all right? Isn't that wonderful? Now, you won't do that, aren't you? I know you are. Praise God, praise God. See, God is so good to us today. I don't know what I would do without him. Ah, yes, yes, yes. And we thank God today that Deacon Mike is here with us. You remember him, what I'm just saying, is with us, and he's going to stand in for Sister Diane right now. This is what he's doing. Praise God. And we thank God for that today, all right? And we thank God for you. We still thank God for you. So you pray for us, okay? We need we need your prayers today very much. We really do. We really do. All right, let me give you a little word here today, because none of us will ever be able to live a perfect life. We need to be spiritually wise and practice forgiveness in our daily lives. How about that? Because none of us will ever be able to live a perfect life, we need to be spiritually wise and practice forgiveness in our daily lives. How about that? We need to practice that. You say, what you mean practice it? Well, now, because you're not doing it, so start practicing it. Isn't that what it would be? All right, you seem like you, nobody wants to forgive nobody anymore. You know, everybody just want to do what they want to do, and that's it, huh? That's the way it is. And that's not life, you know, that's not right. That's not what God wants us to do. So let's try to do what God wants us to do, okay? We want to work on that. That's what we really want to work on today, is what God wants us to do. Isn't that right? All right. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to start here today, and I'm going to start with my subject matter. I want you to listen closely to this today. You pray for me. My throat is trying to act up again. Bless God. All right, we're going to start with Mark, the third chapter. I'm going to start with Mark, the third chapter here, and I'm going to start at the first verse. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. See, this is Jesus is in the synagogue now, okay? And we got naysayers and crazy people all up in the synagogue these days, you know? You got people in the synagogue always watching, trying to find something wrong. You have people in church? Looking around, trying to find something wrong so they can leave church, or so they can talk about them, put them down or something. Someone always looking for something wrong. Now, grant you, as I read to you a little word today, we are not perfect, okay? We haven't achieved perfection as of yet, the type of perfection that God wants. We haven't received that as of yet. We're working on it, though, aren't we? You're working on it, and I'm working on it, right? Amen. I know we're working on it. But here, they watching Jesus to see what he's going to do. Now, they know the man was crippled and withered up and everything, and they want to see what he was going to do, okay? And it's like sometimes you go to church and somebody say they healing or prophesying, and you want to say, I'm going to see what they're going to say. I'm going to see if they're going to call me out. You ever heard that? I mean, I used to hear that all the time. Well, I don't be there that much to this type of see that many people prophesying anymore like they used to. And the people would be saying, I will see what they're going to say. Is they going to call me out? Well, now listen, it ain't them people calling you out. It's God that calling your name. Isn't that right? And he may have something to say. Now, if God don't have nothing to say, the prophet or prophetess don't have anything to say either to you. You see, so go on to the next person. So somebody's always there looking to find some kind of drama to start. You know what I'm saying? Let's read on. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now, we've been to show them something. Since they looking to see something, just stand up and let's start something here. Let's let God's glory be shown in the midst. That's all it was. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Now check this out. Now, he got them stumped right about now. See what I'm saying? What is he saying here? Which thing is the best to do on the Sabbath? Since you standing around, he knew all the time what they were after. They were looking for something to accuse him of, to take him to court with, and all this stuff. You know how it is. Glory be to God. But you know God is so good, and he's such a wise God. Jesus said the right words, huh? Ask them a question. They couldn't answer, you see. So leave me alone. In other words, now let's go on. When he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Huh? The man's hand was what? Restored whole as the other. Now you ask the devil, now what you say, devil? Since you've been sitting around, hanging around, trying to find something wrong, you know. Now, we had a little discussion about that. I think last night we talked a little bit about it too, about how, you know, people are always looking for something wrong. They come to church instead of looking for Jesus. They're looking for the preacher to say something wrong, or the preacher is taking up too much money, and, you know, this and that. They're always trying to find fault. In the first place, when you think about the money part, what are we looking for? Only thing is this, if you want a beautiful building to have church in, it takes money. And then it takes money to get the building. It takes money to keep the building up. And then your pastor, prophet, or whatever needs money to live so that they'll have enough breath and strength to preach to you and tell you what thus saith the Lord. Now, with those elements in mind, don't go to church trying to find fault because they're taking up offering. Because it's in the book about offerings, it's in the book. As a matter of fact, some preachers don't preach enough about it, you see, so the people really don't really know how to give, the correct way of giving, you see. Oh, we ain't going to go too far into that because that's another message altogether. But we're going to talk about the church that has a withered hand. Huh? This is what we're going to talk about today. The church that has a withered hand. Do you get me? Huh? Now, it's time for you, to stretch out your hand. It's been withered a long time, and you wonder what is wrong, right? So, in the dictionary, tell you about withered, what a withered means. To fade or shrivel. Now, I like this part. To become dry and wrinkled up. Huh? You see what it's saying? Or to decline. In other words, you can't do anything if you don't have your whole hand. Now, can you? If it's all dried up and withered and wrinkled, it can't be used. Is that right? So therefore, you are handicapped because your hands are withered. So the church world today has become rather withered. The hands have become withered. There's nobody that's doing anything in churches today too much. They're only looking for the have when the football season, they're having a party in church called the whatever the ball game is, you know, the Super Bowl parties and all of this going on in church. Now, listen, you can tell me anything you want about, well, there wasn't no a Super Bowl in Jesus' day. There was somebody's thing was going on. They had some type of Olympic night features going on in that time. But Jesus didn't have them in his church. He is in the synagogue, and here's this man that's there with a withered hand. Now, what you going to do about that? Are you going to say, well, this is Super Bowl night and we can't have no prayer for no healing? This ain't no time for praying for healing or praying for deliverance. Can we do that? What you going to do? Now, you wonder what's wrong with the church and why the church is not like it used to. Well, from what I hear, you don't want the church to be like it used to be. You don't want the tearing. You don't want the sacrifice and fasting and praying all night and all this kind of thing. You don't want that because you want to have Super Bowl parties. You want to have Easter egg hunts. You want to be doing all these here social-like type things, and you want to bring them into church. And to me, it's desecrating the house of God because God didn't have all that kind of carrying on in his church. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can talk about taking up money in the church, but when the Jesus went to the synagogue, let me ask you something. How did he see the money box was there and everybody what they were putting in if it wasn't in the church? Now, talk about it. We can talk about it now if you want to talk about the money part. We can go on over there, but I'm not going there at this time. I'll talk about it another time. But, see, we cause the church to shrink up, and we all be all up in there with shrink wrap. You seen what shrink wrap is? This is what we have, a church full of shrink wrap people. Nobody wants to do anything. You hear what I'm saying? Nobody put their hand to do anything. Well, let me tell you something about that. Jesus is ready for you to stand up and stretch your hand out and do some ministry. Everybody want to get in the pulpit and preach, but they don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to get out and talk to the people. They don't want to talk about them and tell them and witness them about what Jesus can do and what Jesus did in their life. You see, you know, you got to talk about what Jesus did in your life. Let me tell you, now, when you read out through the Bible, all throughout the Bible, when you read about a hand, you know, the hand is symbolic of ministry. You always got to minister. You got to use your hand. Don't you think about when he talked about, whenever he talked about the five fingers, what we think about the fivefold ministry, right? And so if we're here using the fivefold ministry, what are we having, huh? What did he tell us about the fivefold ministry, huh? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and it's all for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You'll find that in Ephesians 4. For the work of the ministry. That's what it's for. Using your hands in whatever fashion is needed to fulfill the work of the ministry. That's what it's for. Think about it now. Glory be to God. Your hands is what God uses to get the job done. Lay hands on the sick. The Bible saying he shall recover. Didn't he say that? So that's what it's for. Not for what? Holding tight to your breast, holding your hands in your pocket and counting your little pennies you got. It's not just for that. You take your pennies out and put them in the offering bucket, a plan, a box, or whatever they got. You know, this is what you do. Give it to the ministry, to work in the ministry. For what? The ministry to have a feeding program. The ministry have a clothing, going to the jail program, seeing about them, making sure they get whatever they need in prison or on the battlefield. You know, they used to send little gift things to the soldiers in the, you know, in the army on the field somewhere out fighting the battles. And none of this is being done too much today. There's a few people, and we are leaving it for the mega churches doing things, and then you wonder why they mega, because they're doing these things. They got enough people, and the people go out and do. So then you judge the small churches for not doing these things, because the people in the small church have got their eyes on the big church talking about what they're doing and left them not doing anything. So their hands has withered. While they talk, their tongue is cleaved to the top of their mouth and their hands is withered. So no work is getting done, you see. Nobody has stretched out a hand to help anyone. Now, remember when the apostles was at the beautiful gate, and there was that man standing at the gate. He was all crippled and everything. And what did Peter though say? What did Peter say? What did they say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. What did they do? They did one little act. They reached down, grabbed him by the hand, and pulled him up to healing. And they walked into the synagogue together. You see what I'm saying? Praising God, worshiping him. See, they reached out with what they had. No, they didn't talk about, well, we don't have a whole lot of people. We don't have a mega church. We don't have this, that, or the other. But they did use what they had. They had their little hands and their mouth. And they gave them the word of God. They reached down and pulled him up from off the ground where he was sitting begging. Do you see what I'm saying? They pulled him up to a better life. They pulled him up to have something more than what he had. He now have a brand new life. He can now sing. He can praise the Lord, glorify him, go to work if he want to. He had something now to do because someone dared to reach out and touch him. Somebody dared to stretch forth their little withered, wrinkled up hand and pull him up. You see, praise God. See, so many times we try to use excuses not to do anything for God. You ever notice that, huh? People always have an excuse. Now, they have two hands. Their hands are not crippled or anything. Maybe some older people may have arthritis or something like that and kind of a little difficult, but they can talk. You can still talk. That's reaching out, stretching out to touch somebody with your mouth, with your voice. See, you can still reach out and touch somebody. You do not have to decline from helping people because of any ailments you have. You may have an affliction of sorts. It should not stop you. Paul had an affliction, but did it stop him? No. He did more work while he was afflicted than he did before he got afflicted. He was a bad boy before he got afflicted, you see. But his affliction, he did not allow it to stop him from carrying the word of God, preaching the word of God, doing for people, you understand, helping people raise the funds for the church and for the church ministry and all of that. You see, all of this was going on in the Bible. You be talking about it all the time. You hear people talking about, well, every time I go to church, I ask for money. Those are stingy people that want to hold on to their money, close their hands up, and let their money and their hands swivel up where nothing can get in and nothing can go out. Now, this is what happened. This is what happened. But we've got to do what? Stretch forth our hand. When God tells us, say, stretch out your hand. Just stretch it out. See, you had a hand that couldn't do nothing. You had a hand that wasn't functioning. Do you see what I'm saying? See, today we have a lot of people in church and they're not functioning. They're not performing. You see what I'm saying? They're not able to perform because they all swivel up, what, in themselves. Me, and mine. That's it. They're weak and it's useless. Do you get the picture? See, this is what's going on today. Don't sit up and wonder, well, what's wrong today? What's wrong today? We got preachers that is withered up too. We're not leaving anybody out. There's lots of people, all kinds of people, that could be more useful in the service of the Lord if they unwither themselves. Stretch out, stretch out, stretch out, and do something. It don't matter. Don't talk about what you don't have. Let me tell you one thing. You got more than you think you have. Moses had in his hand one rod. And he was talking about, he didn't know how to go, what he going to use, what he going to say, how he going to say. He started talking about his impairment and all that. And God took all away the excuses. He's taking away the excuses today. He's taking them away from you, and me too. If I got an excuse, I ain't got enough money. You know I ain't got no people to help me. All that stuff, you can get the job done. Remember now, he said, well, two or three gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. In other words, if you trust him, he going to be with you. Don't care if it ain't but two of you. You see? So there is no excuse. Stretch out now. Stretch out. You've been withered too long. Huh? You have sat back a long time, and you're beginning to fade. You're beginning to fade because after a while you don't have no kind of energy, no kind of mind to do anything. You wouldn't care whether a person come out of hell or not, because you have what? Faded out, dried up. That's what you did. You just dried up. This is all you have done. Well, now, you know, people going to talk about you now. You tell me, well, people talk about me. So what? They talked about Jesus. They going to talk about you too. To know this here. At least you're important enough for them to keep you on their mind. So you know you're doing something when they get to talking about you so much. Huh? You see? People going to talk. That's why they got their mouth. They don't always mind their own business. They're going to mind your business. But don't let it be true what they're saying. Do you get the picture? That's the bottom line of it. Don't let it be true. All right? Let it just be a lie. And then who's responsible for that lie? They are. They are responsible for the lie that they tell on you. Lord, I know you don't want to hear that, huh? But listen. Stop being weak, huh? I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do that. God has designed you to do something. You were made in his image and likeness, and he did not make anything empty. He did not make anything without some creative ability there somewhere. It's there. You just got to learn how to perform, how to do it. And do it in the right place, huh? You see? You got to show, I gave unto you power. Listen, how are you going to explain that now? He said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. If that's what Jesus told you, don't you know it's time for you to stand up and stretch out? Huh? Get some backbone. That's all you got to do. Get some backbone. And we're trying to do that today to help you there, huh? We sick of churches with no power. Everybody want to preach, but nobody got no power back in it. We need some power for us.
something to show forth the glory of God in us. You hear what I'm saying? Show forth the glory of God in us. Do you hear me? Not, you know, we ain't talking about nobody else but us. You, me. Okay? I don't care what church you belong to. It don't matter. That's our problem. We always looking at somebody else's church. And I belong to this church and I belong to that. You don't belong to the church of Jesus Christ. Do you belong to that? And you've been born again and all this, washed in his blood and all this? Have you? Then you're ready to stretch out. You're not going to be one to fold up your hands and hold them to your back and do nothing. You're not going to be that one. I decree and declare it today. You will not be that kind of person. Put your hands behind the back saying, I can't do nothing and I don't feel like doing nothing. You ain't going to be that kind of person. We rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, we do. We say you got power to overcome. So if you got power to overcome, stretch it on out there. Stretch that hand out there. Both of your hands, stretch them out right now. They will not be swivel up anymore. You will not fold them up anymore. You will not hide them anymore. But you're going to use them to the glory of God. Oh, do you get me today? Amen. That's what we're speaking to you. The word of God to you today. Now, let me say this here. Now, when Jesus went to the synagogue, let's say that would be on the sixth day. All right. But when he came in there, he don't find nothing in there. He can't see himself in there working. What is he saying? This is the sixth day. Now, okay, when he get there, there's nothing like what God intended to be. God intended for the power to be operating there, right? So what does he do? God, do you ever notice Jesus always work on them days that you don't expect him to work? You know how it is in church. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just going. Now, that's the day God began to work, and you fighting against what he's doing or trying to work on the other people to get up and go and stretch out and praise him, worship him, sing and glorify him. And you get there and you just as powerless. You ain't got no power. Oh, you just got a whole lot of naysayance and what going on. So what he do on the seventh day, the day, the Sabbath, is what Jesus come in there and he purposely do it just to aggravate them devils. See what they? Oh my God! In the face of a lot of opposition, he healed that withered hand. He healed that man, and this is what he'll do for you today. You may have all kind of opposition going on: your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, and your cousin, and your grandmama, and everybody else is against your husband, your wife. Everybody is against you, is opposing what you're trying to do, and you trying to live right, and they telling you you can't, and all of this. And then you say, "What? Well, let Jesus show up. Stretch out on the word of God. Say, I don't care what you say. I'm standing for the Lord. I'm standing on Jesus' side, and I will not be moved." You see, stand like that tree planted by the water. This is what you got to do. And you're going to be healed. It will be healed, and you will not be minded of them people you say. You know what? I don't hear you. I don't hear nothing you say. Close my ears to all of this stuff you're saying, opposing this, opposing that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Say, I'm not in the you can't do category. I'm in the I can do anything but fail category. That's the category I'm in. Tell the devil that. Y'all know you. Don't be afraid of him. Tell him. Go ahead. 'Cause let me tell you, in a man's obedience, in his obedience to do what Jesus said, he said, stand for. Then he told him to stretch his hand out. The man obeyed, didn't he? He was immediately healed. Completely. So what happened there? Think about this. That seventh day, he brought about power in him, and people seen the authority of Jesus when that man stretched his hand out on that seventh day. Do you see what I'm saying? That was the day that they didn't say, well, he ain't going to heal because, you know, this is the Sabbath, and we keep the Sabbath. We're so busy keeping certain days, and we can't see the day that God trying to work. Huh? God is working while we, well, you know, this is Easter Sunday, and you know I can't do this. He said, would you do good or evil? Hmm? Or will you save a life or kill somebody? What one you don't do on that day? Which one? Huh? What you going to do? You going to help somebody? Or you going to sit about, I can't today because today is my church day, and I don't do this on my day. Hmm? That's when it come down to the point is, what do God say about it? What did he want you to do at this time? You get it? Okay, you got that. I hope I explained that good. Praise God. Amen. Because God is looking for you and you to do what he asked you to do. Huh? He wants you to. Hmm? Now, let me read something here. You, I'm going over here in Ezekiel right quick, the 44th chapter. Ezekiel, the 44th chapter and at the 10th verse. Listen at this, if you will. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary. Where are they going to be at? Them same ones that gone astray. They're going to be what? Ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. These are the people, all right, that has what? Don't have a withered hand anymore. These are people that took their hands and applied it to the word of God in his sanctuary to do sacrifice and do the burnt offerings and everything it was happened to do to help somebody else. This is what they did. And you're talking about, well, this is back then. Okay, let's read just a little bit further here. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. See, you don't want God to lift his hand up, do you? So don't you think you ought to use yours? Mm-hmm. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abomination which they have committed. You bear your own stuff when you don't do what God tells you to do. Hmm? You bear your own burdens. You bear your all this stuff yourself because you done come against his holy house. This house is holy. Isn't it holy? Mm-hmm. So why are you trying to do everything else, Super Bowling in God's house? Hmm? Your hands all withered, you see, because you got it to the wrong plow. Hmm? He said, you got your hand to the wrong plow. You see, you're plying up the wrong kind of soil here. You're plying up socialism in the house of God when you should do what? They shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifices for the people. Okay, they have this duty to carry, and you're not carrying it out, huh? You're not carrying it out, huh? Let the baseball, basketball, or whatever ball, Super Bowl, or whatever the bowl is, be where they at. In this stadium, you go to the stadium, you anything, go to the stadium. Don't bring it in the house of God. Huh? And you say, and then we're going to have chips and dips and all this. You ought to have wine and beer. I don't know. I ain't been into it. But all I know is you hear the advertisement. And I think it's not right for God's house to be a party house like that. Hmm? Worldly stuff going on. What is it?
You can't get no members if you don't have a Super Bowl party at church or a Halloween party in church. Talking about, well, we're going to keep them from going out in the street. You keep your children from going out in the street. They're going to tell them, say, Jody, you ain't going. We don't do Halloween. We don't do Halloween in this house. Or we don't do this and that in the house, in the household of faith. God's holy house, God's holy hill. It is for what? It's supposed to be worshiping, praising him. Now you see why the church is withered, huh? His hands of the church is withered today. And you can't get anybody to go out and witness. You can't get them to go out and pass out a tract. You can't get them. They say, well, we don't do that no more. We as of the young age, we don't do. What's wrong with that? Passing out the word of God, giving out the word of God. What you going to do when you can't do it? When you want to do it, you ain't going to be able to do it no more. So you better do it while you can. That's all I say. I know you don't think you're supposed to wear. We used to wear the stickers on our clothes and put the little I'm saved pin on there. They don't do none of that. They say you don't have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. But what's wrong with doing it? Huh? Telling people about who you are. What's wrong with that? You do with everything else. You got T-shirts that say you a gold digger. You got a T-shirt to say I'm gay. You got a T-shirt to say I'm a homo and all this other kind of stuff. Why can't you say have a T-shirt to say I'm saved? Why you can't put a pin on to say I'm saved? I'm a Jesus person. Why can't you do that, huh? See what makes the church withered? You see what the hand of the church can't do the right thing anymore? They don't want to wear no shirt talking about Jesus. We got so many reality shows with people's lives and how they dysfunction in their life and everything. We want to hear where they function properly. Let me see something where Jesus had prevailed here, not you going out sinning and talking about, well, you know, we the church got to be free. Free, it is free if you be free in Jesus, but you ain't free if you bind up in sin and you out there committing sin, living with somebody, shacking and lollygagging and smoking weeds with them and all this stuff. That ain't free. See, that's not free. You got the church in a bind, see, and it's trying to bust loose, and you keep tightening it up. It's like you put vinegar on it, and it gets more tighter, you see. It's what it does. The ministry, God wanted ministry to be free, to go forward. He wanted his ministers to have that power, see. He, in the example here in Ezekiel here of the priesthood, they was not ministering in God's power, and they brought the people into bondage. Do you want to be doing that? Are you going to stretch your hand out in obedience to God and let him restore your ministry and the ministry that he allowed you to be a part of? God called you into that, see? But when you go down to the 15th verse, read it at your own leisure, you'll find out that the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children went astray. He kept the charge. Are you going to be like Zadok? Huh? That's who you need to be like. So you've got to stretch out now. Keep the charge. Stand fast in the liberty of which you've been made free. When you accepted Jesus Christ, that's the liberty that made you free. He not tell you to go back and begin to bind yourself up by doing what? Holding and folding your hand up and keeping them behind your back without using them. They are made to be used in the front of you, right on the side of you. Isn't that where they come? That way you use them? You get a crook in them when you hold them in the back too long, don't you?
Yeah, I know you do. Praise God. But this time now for you to be like the sons of Zodok. Huh? They took care. They ministered. And the Bible say, and they shall stand before me to offer unto the fall and the blood, said the Lord God. They're going to offer everything that they have to offer unto the Lord. And he said, they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. That's what your hands are there for. Stretch them out today. Stretch them out right now. And minister to the people of God what you have to minister to, so that somebody can be restored back to God. Somebody's hands can get unwithered. After yours are stretched out and they are made whole, now it's time for what? You to help somebody else. Won't you help somebody else? Won't you? Why can't you help somebody else? Come on, help somebody else. We don't want you to continue to be powerless. God always uses a hand, don't he? He uses a hand. Remember Elijah, servant? When Elijah told the servant to go, you know, look up there in the sky. And he didn't know what he was looking for. But when you call on the hand of God to be at work in your life, some very phenomenal things begin to happen. When he went up there and he told the man of God, there ain't nothing there. He said, go back and look up again, you know, because as he prayed, he knew his God. He knew that God was going to do something. He's going to bring about what I asked him to bring about. But you've got to be determined. You've got to be consistent. You've got to continue on whether you see anything or not. You've got to continue in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will. He said, I'll hasten to perform it. You know, if you can see it, he said, I'll hasten to perform it. Well, when this servant finally seen something, he told the man of God, he see a cloud like a man's hand. And it was, the hand was ready to bring forth abundance of rain. And that's what God is waiting to do in your life, to bring forth the abundance of rain. That hand is over you right now. It's open to drop it on you right now. You're going to get that overflow. But you got to continue wait on it. He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You wait even though you're tired. You wait even though you don't feel so good. You still wait on the Lord, because his hand is extended to you, you and you, right now. Right now, it's extended to you. So let it come forth. Let it come forth. Huh? Right now. Oh, we're going to let our own Deacon Mike say something today. Praise God.
What's going on?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank each and every one of you for being on today. And I thank you, and I thank the apostle for this time. You know, it's so true. You know, a lot of times we got to push through things. You know, people don't do that too much no more. You know, you might see the ball players and stuff push through things. That's because they get paid the millions of dollars. You know, but why can't we push through for God? Don't you think God is worth it? You know, and that's where we run in and come up short, because we don't think God is worth it to us. You know, and a lot of people are getting all these different predicaments because they ain't got no belief in God. They go to church, they there, but do they really believe in God? Do they really have faith in God? That's the question. Do we really have faith? You know, that's something that gets preached over and over and over again. But as you see, people are still short. They're still coming up short. So we got to know what we're doing here. You know, when we get into the Word of God, we have to understand these words which we are reading. If you don't understand, ask your pastor. Ask your leader. You know, that's all you got to do. Ask the deacons, ask the elders, ask the pastor, ask somebody to help you out in this Word of God. You know, because people be slack on that Word of God. And the thing about it is we got to stop being so slack. We got to stop being so, some people are intimidated by the Word of God. Some people are afraid of the Word of God. You know, the ones that are afraid of the Word of God is because they don't want to change. It's something that they don't want to give up. And they know it's a sin, so they don't want to give that up. You know, and these are the things that man goes through today, that we don't understand what the Lord means or what he's doing for us in our lives. And the point of the matter is he's doing something every day in our lives because he woke us up this morning. He allowed us to go to sleep and wake up in the morning. People don't want to acknowledge that God is the orchestrator of this. He orchestrated all our lives. Now, he's our conductor. We're just a symphony. So we need to learn how to play by the notes. How to play by the notes means the Bible. Means read it. Get yourself involved in it. Pray on it. Pray with it. You know, it's a lot of things that we can do that we can do better than what we're doing. You know, I think I said Monday that when we be on the Wailing Walls prayer line, there's strength in numbers when we pray. You know, a lot of people are afraid to get on the line and pray because they don't want nobody to hear them. You know, what's the point? You know, what are you afraid of? What are people afraid of? You know, people don't want to do anything anymore because they're lazy. Let's stop being lazy with the Word of God, with God. Let's get some energy here. Let's buckle down, you know, because time is short. Because people are leaving here real quick lately here, you know. So you know, time is short. We have to look at all these things. You got to look around at the natural disasters that's going on in the world today, and all the uproar all over the place. You know, all over the world, there's something going on. I mean, no place has any peace right now. So we got to look at that too. Now, if you can't find peace and happiness in your church, you can't find it nowhere. So let's get involved in the Word of God, get involved with your church, and that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to get involved. We need to learn how to show interest in God. Let's not think that we can go through the motions with God. If we don't work that way, he don't work that way. He wants your undivided attention once you get there. You know, we live daily. We also die daily. Think about the things that we think about, that we have to repent on ourselves. So we got to know that we got to move and strive to get better. We got to strive to push through at difficult times. In other words, we got to learn to lean on him. Bottom line, we need to learn to lean on God. People don't understand that, and they probably never will. Lean on God. All I can say is try him. You can't do no worse than where you at now if you don't try him. You know, I'm speaking to those who don't understand God, who don't understand what the Word of God is and what it's about. you know, our instructions and our things that we need to understand that's going on in life. We as Christians need to learn how to push our way through a lot of things too. We need to learn how to lean on him. We need to learn how to count on Jesus, because Jesus always, God is always going to be on time. No matter what we do and what we say, he's going to be on time. All these things are up. And, but you know one thing what's so great about it? It's up to us. It's up to each individual, because this is a self-case matter. You have to lean on him for you. I have to lean on him for me. And this is the way it is. Oh, can't nobody else lean on him for you. You have to do it yourself. This is the point. Some people don't want to go to church and say, oh, I don't want to come to church by myself. So that means when you die, you're going to take somebody with you? Because you're going to go by yourself? See, these are the things that what we're talking about. These are the strange things that go on that people have, all these different excuses. But you're running out of excuses and you're running out of time. Mm-hmm. Just look around. All I can say is look around. Look what's going on, you know, in different places all around the world, even in your own neighborhood and things. Look around. People are leaving. I mean, they're leaving at a more rapid rate than they did last year. I can just tell you that much, because it's something else. So we got to learn how to keep God on us and keep him involved in our lives also. This is what we have to do. These are the words and these are the things that we have to do, because God loves us. Whether we want to believe it or not, God loves us. So we have to, man is crazy, because we get into things that we think that God doesn't see us do. A lot of people think they're doing things behind God's back. God see what you're doing. So stop hiding behind that rock. Stop hiding behind that tree. Let's step out into the light. Let's get our lives under control. And to get it under control means the word of God. And I'd like to thank each and every one of us, each and every one of you that listen in on this broadcast today. And we thank God for each and every one of you. Now, don't forget to write us or send donations in to Post Office Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. And everything that you have and you may send in is appreciated and will go to good works. And I love to thank those who've already sent us something in. We thank God for you, because it's not going to waste, and we're here to help. And we're here to help pray and listen to people's and try to do what we can do. And don't forget, the church address is 31325 County Road 437, Sorrento, Florida 32776, and that's every Sunday at 1 p.m. and Tuesday at 6 p.m. And don't forget, tomorrow we have time to talk about it again at 9 a.m. 347-857-3925, and that's tomorrow at 9 a.m. That's just Thursday. And Friday night we have the Way in the Walls prayer line, 218-548-6746. And the code is 3333 pound, and that's hosted by our very own Elder Whitty. And don't forget, I'll be on Mondays at 3 p.m. when I'm Just Saying. And the number is 917-889-2211. That's every Monday at 3 p.m. And we thank you, and God bless each and every one of you for listening today.
On my mind, searching for that peace. not find. And I kneel down to pray. Pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As I stop worrying,
worrying
how the story ends,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening. I stop looking at back then,
when I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have. So much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way. And oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
Soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends,
I can let go.
I let go
and I can let
God.
Let him have. Let go, let God.